The following message was recorded at the No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission.
Welcome to Elmbrook Church and to No Regrets. And excited to have you all in this meeting. This is Meeting Jesus for the First Time. The session is going to go from 10:15 to 11:05, and our speaker is Mark Malowitz. Let me just tell you just a little bit about Mark. Mark is president of Basics, which is Brothers and Sisters in Christ Serving. It's a Christian nonprofit with it helps strengthen multi-church ministries throughout the metropolitan area on a non-denominational basis. Mark also manages the organization, which supports dozens of city ministries, such as local evangelism efforts, prison ministries, food outreaches, recovery programs, youth activities, and many others. He joined the organization in 2002 and has ministered to Milwaukee and was elected president in 2013. Please welcome Mark Malowitz.
Thank you, and welcome, guys. Thanks so much for joining us here today. How'd you like the main program so far?
Great.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you're here, and it's a privilege to be here with you today, talking about meeting Jesus for the first time. And before we start, I just want to open us with a word of prayer. So will you just bow your heads with me, and we're going to ask God to speak to each one of us as only He can do. Father, we just thank You and praise You for the privilege of being here in this church with You and with other men that are seeking You. We invite You to have Your way with us, Lord. Direct this time, encourage us, talk to us, change us, and help us to hear what You want us to hear and become what You want us to become. Bless each family that's represented here, Lord. Thank You for the privilege of family. And we just ask again now that You would have Your way, that You'd speak clearly and we'd be hearers of the word and then doers for Your glory and for the good of each man here. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So again, this morning, this is Meeting Jesus for the First Time. And what we're going to try to do here today is discuss three main points. First, who is Jesus Christ? Second, why did He come? And third, how can I meet Jesus? And so first, who is Jesus Christ? And throughout history, people have been asking that question, who do you say that Jesus is?
The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
There you go. Very good. And there's been many paintings, there's been books, there's been movies and opinions about Jesus throughout history, whether it's been good or it's been bad. Several years ago, Time magazine did a cover story about Jesus, and at that time, it was the number one largest article that they had ever had in terms of letters to the editor that people responded to Time magazine about Jesus Christ. Now, how interesting. I don't think about Time magazine being a religious magazine, but obviously there was a lot of response and a lot of feedback, good and bad. Encyclopedia Britannica, which is probably the number one encyclopedia in the world, has more stories and articles about Jesus than any other person or any other event in history. Again, interesting, isn't it? Just an awesome encyclopedia, but a lot of conversation about Jesus. Maybe you remember several years ago, there was a movie called The Passion of the Christ. Maybe some of you saw it or heard about it, the movie that Mel Gibson had put out. It had grossed over $600 million worldwide. Not bad for a Christian film. And everyone seems to have an opinion about Jesus, whether it's good or bad. If you don't believe that, go to your Super Bowl party tomorrow and ask the people at the Super Bowl party, who do they say Jesus is? I guarantee that'll start a lively conversation at your party, right? Whether it's good or bad. But everybody seems to have something they want to say about Jesus. And what I thought we would do also is I wanted to share a couple celebrities. Not that they're any better than anyone else, but sometimes it's just interesting to hear what the people that are in the limelight or in the spotlight, what they have to say about Jesus. And first I want to share what Carrie Underwood, the famous singer, had said. Maybe you know who she is.
I know who she is.
Yeah, she sold a few records, hasn't she? And Carrie Underwood said when she released the song Jesus Take the Wheel, people started questioning her and saying, isn't that kind of risky, Carrie, that you're coming out with a religious song? But she said, you know, I was thinking, really? I grew up in Oklahoma. I always had a close relationship with Jesus. I never thought it was risky. In fact, I thought it was the safest thing I could ever do, was writing a song about Jesus. Richard Harris, is a famous actor. For some of the older people, you'll know who he is. Some of the young people won't know who he is, but that's okay. But he's an actor who's been around for many years. And listen to what he said about Jesus. He said, Jesus is just a word I used to swear with. Jeremy Lin, the NBA basketball player. We got a young man here, Brady, that's a basketball player. Maybe some of you remember Lin's sanity that happened a few years ago in the NBA. He's still playing with Charlotte Hornets. But here's what he said. From the sense of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ, hopefully through my story and through the improbable miracles that have happened in my life, people are inspired or at least a little warmer to the idea of exploring who Jesus Christ is. Martin Luther, he said when he was afraid and abandoned by everybody, he said, in my greatest weakness, when I was trembling and afraid of death, when I was persecuted by this wicked world, I often felt surely the most divine power in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, so by his name and by his grace, I will live and die for the name of Jesus. Russell Wilson, the quarterback from the Seattle Seahawks, who played for the Badgers. Some of you remember him, right? Pretty good quarterback. Yeah. Pretty good quarterback, right? Here's what he said. He said, I had a dream that my dad passed away and that Jesus came into the room and he was basically knocking at my door saying, hey, you need to find out more about me. He said, so on that Sunday morning, he said, I went up, got up, and went to church, and that day I gave my life to Jesus. Now, that's from Russell Wilson. And one more, Brett Favre, you remember that?
He's been good for Packers.
Yeah, he's a good player. He might be in the Hall of Fame tonight, right? Tonight might be his night. And here's what he said. He said, I don't want to just be remembered as a football player. He said, each day as time goes on and years go on, I realize what's most important. He said, I can honestly sit here and say that without two people in my life, I probably wouldn't be here. I'd be dead. He said, it was my wife, Deanna, and Jesus Christ. Now, isn't it interesting? From these famous people, one say he's a curse word. Others say they wouldn't be alive. But we all have opinions, good or bad, of who we say Jesus is. So who is Jesus Christ according to what the Bible says, what God's word has to say? Listen to what God's word says a little bit about Jesus. First, it says he's fully God and fully man. He's fully God and fully man. In Philippians 2, 6 through 8, it says, Jesus, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found as an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Jesus himself describes himself as fully God and fully man. The Bible also says he's the creator of everything. In Colossians 1, 15 and 16, it says he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. John 1, 3 says, through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing that has made has been made. So Jesus made you and I. He knows your name.
He made the whole world.
He made the whole world. That's exactly right. So we're not an accident. We're not a mistake. We didn't evolve. Jesus said he made us. He created us, and he knows us. And he says he also knows how many hairs are on your head. And as we get older, some of us say how many we used to have on our head. And now he still knows how many we have on our head. How about the name Jesus Christ? What does that mean, just saying the name Jesus Christ? Well, the name Jesus means to save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. And when you say Christ means the anointed one. So if you put Jesus Christ together, it means the anointed one who was sent to save his people from their sins. It's interesting also, as you look in the Bible, Jesus also gave himself names and descriptions or titles of who he was for us to understand his character, but also understand why he was here on earth. And I'm just going to share a couple of them with you to help you understand the names that Jesus gave himself for us to understand why he was here. And first in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, Jesus wasn't talking merely about our physical need to eat bread. He was talking about our need to have our needs satisfied, our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs, our relational needs. Jesus is the bread of life. That's himself describing himself. He also said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus came to show us how to get through this life with all its darkness and problems by demonstrating a perfect life, the perfect role model to follow. Jesus is the light of the world. I've got a secret for you. I think you guys all know the days are getting more evil, right? Getting a little more tough, a little more difficult. How are you and I going to get through this world on our own? Well, the good news is that Jesus is the light of the world. And we were having a good discussion before the seminar today. I work in the inner city of Milwaukee. And what's the hope for Milwaukee? Just like what's the hope for anywhere? It's Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. If you don't, you think the politicians got the answer? Don't you think they would have showed it by now if they had it?
There's been a lot of shooting around in Beloit, too, they have.
That's right. We need Jesus in Beloit, in Milwaukee, in Madison, and all over the world. But Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen to that again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And when you've been at funerals before, probably, and what does everybody usually have at a funeral? They have the 23rd Psalm, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I was just at three funerals in the last couple of weeks, and two of them had the 23rd Psalm there. Why? Because people want hope. They want to know that this isn't all there is, that there's somebody that can help them and encourage them and strengthen them and lift us up in our time of need. And the Word tells us, and Jesus describes himself, he's the good shepherd. And he cares for his sheep, and he knows us by name. And then finally, in John 11:25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So first of all, I said, we're going to talk about who is Jesus. Well, he said he's fully God and fully man. That's according to the Bible. He's the creator of everything, including you and me. He's the light of the world. He's the resurrection and the life. His name again means he was sent by God to save his people from their sins. He's the bread of life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to get to God is through Jesus. He's the good shepherd. Those are the names of who Jesus is. Second, I want to talk about why did Jesus come? Well, there's a number of reasons that he probably came, but I'm going to focus on four of them today. And the first one is he came because he loves us. Jesus loves us. Let's hear what four heroes of the faith have to say. Not what Mark says, but what do the people in the Bible say about Jesus' love for you and for them? And John tells us in 1 John 4:9, he said, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, into the world that we might live through him. So John understood that God loved him through Jesus. And he grasped that, and he built his life upon that, didn't he? The prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament says in Jeremiah 31:3, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. We're all here today because God's drawn us to himself. He loves us, he knows us by name, and he's got something for each one of us, and he loves us. And that's what the prophet Jeremiah saw, and hopefully we're getting to see as we meet and draw closer to God. The apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5:8, he said, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us, or Christ died for us. He demonstrates his love for us. He didn't just talk it, he did it. He went on the cross for us, didn't he? That shows us that he loved us. And then Jesus reminds us of his love for us in a famous verse you probably have heard somewhere along the line, John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, now listen to this, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. So Jesus came into the world because he loves you and he loves me. Second reason that Jesus came into the world, he came to die for all of our sins. He took our place on the cross. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says this, he, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree or on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Why did Jesus have to die such a brutal death on the cross? You know, have you ever thought about that? Wouldn't it have been nice if God just would have said, here's the sins, take them away? I don't know the answer for that. I wish I knew. But that's how God chose to do it. Maybe one day when we get to heaven, we could ask him, why did he have to go through that kind of death? But Jesus, but God wanted a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for sin, once and for all, for the sin of the sin problem of the world. And Jesus was the one that did that. He came to die for our sins. I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't want you to yell, answer it out loud, but just in your mind, does anybody think they're a good person in here? You probably, some of you do, right? And that's cool. But we're going to keep it real here. We're going to use God's law, the Ten Commandments, to see how good are we in comparison to God. All right? So has anybody in here ever told a lie in their life even one time? All right, there's a few people that are honest. Praise God, I'm not alone. That's great.
I lied.
All right, so we've all lied at least one time in our life.
I lied, too.
All right, so if you've ever told a lie, what do you call somebody that tells a lie? A liar.
Right.
All right, and a liar is breaking the ninth commandment. All right? Has anybody ever here in this room ever looked at a woman with lust?
Nope.
Yes.
All right. All right, there's two-handed, two-feeter. All right, he's keeping it real here. All right? Well, the seventh commandment says you should not commit adultery, but listen to this, what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 5, 27 to 28, he says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. So again, as we said, if anybody in this room can say they honestly haven't looked at a woman with lust even one time in your life, we're going to pray for you, because not only are you breaking that commandment, you're breaking the other one, the ninth one that I just said about lying. Right? Now we're just keeping it real here. So I don't know about you, but I'm batting 0 for 2. I'm kind of like the Brewers are going to be this year. I'm 0 for 2.
My wife died here at 89.
Oh. Third one. Have you ever used God's name as a curse word? When you strike your finger with a hammer, or when somebody cuts you off on the freeway? Just had that the other day. I had to watch my language there. That was terrible. Or how about when you see the replay of the Packer game in overtime against the Arizona Cardinals? That should have been us in that game tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tonight, right? What are the words that come out of your mouth if you're not careful? We've all probably said Jesus Christ at some point or another. We use his name as a curse word. We're breaking the third commandment. And here's one more for you. If you think you've done 3 for 3. Well, here's one. If you could tell me you've done this one, you the man, we'll high-five you for this one. First commandment says, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Is there somebody in this room that's put God above everybody all the time, every day, above all things? Nobody's raising their hand. So we all are guilty of breaking the first commandment. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm putting them right back at me, because I'm guilty on 1, 2, 3, 4. Now I'm going to stop right there, because I'm batting 0 for 4. It's getting depressing for me. Right? And we didn't even go over the other 6 commandments. But if that's how we say we're good, you see, nobody's good. And if you think that God grades on a curve, because people say, well, I'm better than that guy. At least I'm not, you know, a murderer. I didn't do that. Well, listen to what he says in James 2:10. He says, for whoever keeps the whole law and breaks just one point, he's guilty of breaking all of it. So if you broke one commandment, you're guilty, and I'm guilty. So what's our hope there? There isn't a lot, but that's why Jesus came. That's our hope, is what he did on the cross, his life, his death, his resurrection for you and me. And then Romans 14, 10 and 12 tells us this. It says, for all will stand before God's judgment seat. So each one of us will give an account of himself to God. So how are you and I going to go on judgment day as sinful, guilty people, broken, should deserve death, should deserve separation? What do you think God's going to say? He's going to say guilty. And if that was the end of the story, wow, we'd all go to hell. We'd all be eternally separated from God. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. That's why Jesus came. He came to offer forgiveness for every wrong thing you and I have ever did. These four that we just talked about. And that's just scratching the surface for all of us, if we're honest about it, right? If we're keeping it real here. He came to forgive every wrong we've ever did. He took that beating that you and I should have got. He hung on the tree that you and I should have been on that cross. He did it because he loved us. And he offered us an incredible gift of forgiveness of all sin. And if you don't believe that, let's listen to what God says in his word. He says in 1 John 1, 8 and 9, he says, if we claim to be without sin, if we all would have lied and said, I didn't do any of that, I didn't do that, and I appreciate my brother over there that raised his hand and the feet because he was keeping it real, because we all could raise our hands and feet because we're all guilty, right? But it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and listen to this, forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, past, present, and future. So he came because he loves us. That's the first reason Jesus came. Second, he came to die for all of our sins, past, present, and future sin. Third, he came to change people's lives forever. Jeremiah 29:11-12 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future, plans not to harm you, but to give you a future." He's got a plan specifically designed for each one of us. If we allow his plan to unfold for our lives, it'll change your life, not only here on earth, but for eternity. And I'm just going to share two examples of two people that have had changed lives, miraculous, supernatural change. And the first one is Saul. And maybe you've heard of Saul. In the Bible, Saul was a murderer of Christians. In the book of Acts, we read about how Saul gave approval to stone Stephen. And he was there, and he said, go ahead and kill him. He was one of those that wanted to get rid of Christians. So that was who Saul was. But then it says a little bit later that Jesus met Saul on the road to Damascus. He blinded Saul. He spoke to Saul. He led him there, and he met Ananias. And once Saul met Ananias, it said God filled Saul with his spirit. He restored his sight. He was blind. He restored his physical sight. He was baptized, and it said he became a follower of Jesus. And later it says that Jesus changed Saul's name from Saul to Paul. And what do we know about Paul? Paul was the writer of most of the books of the New Testament of the Bible. Now here's a guy who was a murderer that was against Christ, and now what happens? Now he's a writer and a proponent of Christ, and here he's a servant with Jesus. What a conversion. Who could do that but God, right? And you might think, well, I've done pretty bad. There's no hope for me. Well, if God can take a murderer and help him write the Bible, there's hope for people in you and I, and that's why Jesus came. And the second story I want to tell you about a changed life is my own life. Because this is something I know personally. You can dispute the Bible. I can't dispute my own life because I know if you don't believe this is true, my wife will tell you that what I'm telling you is true. And for 37 years, my life was pretty much three words that people would know and see me. It was selfishness, religion, and emptiness. And life pretty much for 37 years was me, myself, and I. And if it was something for me, I wanted it. If I could benefit from it, I'd take it. And if it hurt you, too bad. That's who I was for 37 years of my life. And do you know people like that today where the whole world seems like they're the center of the universe? That's who I was. So I can't criticize anybody because that's where I was at. But I had religion going for me. Maybe you've had that kind of religion going. Like I'd go to church out of obligation, the 50 minutes of obligation that I called it, where I would be the last one to come in the church. I'd be the first one to leave. And here's a funny confession for you, but it's keeping it real, as we're saying. I even had a parking spot at my church that if I got in that parking spot and I could sit in the back left of the church, I could get out before the pastor would come back to greet us. I wouldn't have to talk to the pastor, and I could drive away before all the other cars would go so I could be the first one out of the parking lot. That was the religion I had going for me. How was that working for me? So I had selfishness and I had religion, but through all that, I had emptiness. I had everything that the world told me I should have. I had a great job. I was in business for many years. I was a manager. I had, you know, all the benefits and vacations and 401ks and perks and, you know, had a wife and had a house and a daughter and had trips and all the toys and all the stuff. And then one night I was at a jazz concert sitting at a bar by myself thinking, is this all there is? There's got to be more to life than this. I got everything that the world's, now what? Well, through a series of four events, I learned from God and from other people I needed to meet Jesus. That's what they told me. They said, that's what you're looking for. He's the one that can turn your life around. Well, since I met Jesus, and that was about 21 years ago, my life has never been the same. It's been totally transformed. If you'd have told me 21 years ago, I'd be up here talking to you guys about meeting Jesus and you should have Jesus, I'd laugh at your face. I'd say, you nuts? I don't want to come to a men's conference, waste my time talking about Jesus. Let's go watch some basketball or let's go have some fun. Who could do that but God? Or that he'd let me be a missionary in the city of Milwaukee for the last 14 years telling people about the hope of Christ? Who could do that but the living God? And the only one that did that was Jesus. So I'm not boasting on myself in any way. I'm just a sinner that was saved by God's grace. He put a new spirit in me, and he gave me a new song to do something for his glory and for his purposes and for his name's sake. But you need to know once you give your life to Christ, it doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. Doesn't mean you're not going to have issues. In fact, it might even get harder for you rather than it gets easy. Because sometimes when you read in the Bible, if you ever look in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the people that followed Christ, some of them were tortured, some of them were persecuted, some of them were on the run. Look in the world today, right? What's happening to Christians all over the world? They're getting their heads cut off just by saying the name of Jesus. So if you're going to give your life to Christ, you're going to have to count the cost. It's not going to be all gravy. It's not going to be all easy. It's not going to be what everybody's going to want to hear. And when I gave my life to Christ, I thought my family would be excited for me. It was like I had AIDS in my own family, because people that used to like me in my own family, because I party with them and hang with them and do worldly stuff, now didn't want to see me anymore, didn't want to hear about my Jesus. And I'm just keeping it real here. But now I've met other wonderful brothers and sisters and become part of the family of God. And there's nothing better, no one I love more than Jesus. And it was because he did that for me and changed my life. And so since I've met Jesus, just a couple lessons I've learned, that Jesus is alive. He's a person. He's not a religion. It's not a denomination. I always thought, what relevancy is Jesus? It doesn't really mean anything. That's what I thought for 37 years of my life. But he's a real living God who cares for us and knows me. He wants to have a relationship with me, just like my wife hopefully wants to have a relationship with me. I know he does. And he wants to have a relationship with you every day. He cares for you, and he cares for me personally. He's always available. The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I don't know about you, but some of my friends, they sure have left me. But Jesus has never left me. And he never disappoints. So why did Jesus come again? He came because he loves us. He came because he wanted to die for all of our sins. He came because he wants to change your life. And finally, he came to give us the gift of eternal life. Not only life in heaven, but the best fruitful life here on earth and forever. Jesus came to give us the gift or the promise of eternal life with God. Now, how do I know that? Because his word says so, not because Mark says so. What does God's word have to say about that? Well, first, again, I said John 3:16 before. I'm going to read it to you again, but listen to the next verse after that, John 3:17. It says, "For God so loved the world," that's all of us, every human being, past, present, and future, "that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now listen to the second part. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn us, but to save the world through Jesus." So you might be thinking, well, Mark, you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know what I've done. You know how many sins I've broken, all 10 commands. You might have broken a million of them. It says he sent Jesus to save you and save me for our sin. And he didn't save him to condemn us and say, "I'm pointing a finger at you and you better get it." No, he said, "I loved you this much." Why does he put his arms on the cross? John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The lie of the world says it doesn't matter what you believe, just believe in anything. Well, Jesus is saying, "I'm the only way." And you have to accept that, or you can choose not to accept it. But that's what he's telling us. He's the gift of eternal life. If you want to know you're going to spend eternity with God, it's through him. John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Again, we're just keeping it real here. One of my best friends, his name is Jeff, he's been my sports buddy. I was an athlete years ago. You can't tell now probably, but years ago I used to play quite a bit of sports. And my best friend Jeff, one day I was telling him about Jesus when I gave my life to Christ, and he said, "How in the H can you be so stupid as to believe that there's a God? Don't ever talk to me about Jesus Christ again." Now, that was one of my best friends. And I remember we were playing tennis at Worth Park. You know where that is, right? They have the lights out there. It was a Thursday night. And I said, "Jeff, one of us is wrong. Either I'm wrong or you're wrong." And I said, "If I'm wrong, so what? If you're wrong, you're going to spend eternity in hell and I'm never going to see you again. And I've been with you for 25 years and I care for you and I love you. And I pray that you'd look at that." Now, I don't know where Jeff's at. We've been praying for him. But that's what he has to decide. Do you believe that Jesus is the way or do you not? And he had the choice. And he said no. But what does the verse say again? "Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." So how's Jeff going to go before a holy God on judgment day and stand, because he's guilty, right? And how's he going to defend himself? There is no defense. But our defense is through faith in Jesus. That's the answer. And in 1 John 5:11-13, it says, "This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and life is in his Son, Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life or eternal life. I write these things to you that you believe in the name of the Son of God." Now listen to this. "So that you may know that you have eternal life." It doesn't say you might hope, you might wish, you might desire. No, if you put your faith in God, God's telling us through his word, you can know today 100% because either God's a liar or he's a truth teller. And I'm going to bank my life on him because of my own changed life, what I've seen he's done for me. And then finally, Jesus was talking to a woman and he says to her, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And he said, do you believe this? That's the question for you and I. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way for you and I to be forgiven of our sins? Do you believe that Jesus is the only one that can get us right with God? If you don't, what are you going to believe in? But Jesus is the answer for our problem. It's not being baptized. We're not going to go to heaven by being baptized. We should be baptized once we give our life to Christ as a demonstration of our faith. But that's not going to make us right with God. It's not by being a good person because we just proved that there's not one good in this room. Right? That ain't going to get it done. It's not by giving to the poor. You're not going to go to heaven by giving to the poor. You're not going to go to heaven by belonging to a church or denomination or knowing a, you know, some famous person or reading your Bible. These are all good things we should be doing, but that's not going to get us right with a holy God. It's only by accepting that free gift of faith through Jesus Christ. Well, what choices do we have with Jesus? Well, we have four that I can think of, and there's probably more, but for sake of time, let's look at four choices that you and I have to make with Jesus. First, you could say, you know what? I think Jesus is just a legend. I really don't believe he lived. Like Paul Bunyan, right? You probably have all heard the story of Paul Bunyan or Peter Pan or the Tooth Fairy, right? You could say, yeah, that's who Jesus is. He's just a legend. He didn't really believe. He didn't ever existed. People made that story up. That's your choice. Or you could say he's a liar. He came up with the most creative, and these guys wrote this story. It's the greatest lie story ever, right? It's like the conspiracy theory. Remember a few years ago, there was a movie called The Da Vinci Code that came out, and The Da Vinci Code tried to mock and make fun of God and say Jesus really didn't die. He wasn't resurrected. Well, if you want to believe that, go ahead. God doesn't hold a gun to anybody's head. He gives us all a free will, a free choice. What do you do with him? So is he a legend? Is he a liar? Or even worse than that, is he a lunatic? Is he a crazy man? I mean, can you imagine somebody claiming to be God themselves, a man? Any of us saying we're God? Right? So if either he's, you know, a legend, a liar, a lunatic. C.S. Lewis was a guy who once was an anti-God, and he came to find Christ on his faith, and he became one of the most famous men of God. And here's what he said about Jesus. He said, Jesus was either who he said he was, the Son of God, or he was a madman, or worse. So we have to decide. Those are the choices. Is he a legend? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he the Lord of Lords and is he the King of Kings that he, who he said he was? That's what we have to make that choice is. Is he able to forgive our sin? Is he able to give us eternal life? Is he able to change our life forever or not? And that's the choice you and I have to make. So that's our question for today. Who do you and I say Jesus is? Well, the third point I said I wanted to share with you is, first, who is Jesus? Why did he come? And third, and most importantly, how do you and I personally meet Jesus? There's the bottom line. I wish Jesus would walk in this room. I'd open the door for you. We'd all fall face down, hopefully, and say, holy, holy, holy. But at least until he comes back, I haven't seen physically Jesus in the physical manifestation. But he tells us we can meet him by faith. And I work for a ministry called Basics. Brothers and sisters in Christ serving. I like keeping it back to the basics. I like keeping it simple. So how do we meet Jesus? Can you guys remember ABC? Say ABC. ABC. All right, you came here for 45 minutes to learn ABC. That's why you're here. And first is how do we meet Jesus? First, A, we have to admit to ourselves and to God that we're a sinner and that we want to repent or turn from our sins. We said it earlier, didn't we? We said we broke four of the Ten Commandments. We all admitted that we were guilty of sin. And that's what the Bible says in Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So first, if we want to meet Jesus, we got to admit to ourselves and then to God, you know what, God, I went against your will. I haven't lived my life the way you wanted it to be. And I have nobody to blame but myself. I can't blame my mom. I can't blame my dad. I'd like to, but it's my fault. And I'm sorry, and I want to turn away. And that's what repentance is saying. I want to have an about face. I want to turn away from the way of living. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I hear that a lot in Milwaukee. People say, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. But what do I do? Well, then why don't you give your life to Christ? Let him direct your life. So if you want to meet Jesus, first you got to admit you're a sinner to yourself, to God, and ask God to help you turn away from it. Then B, you need to believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says that if you, anyone, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. You and I got to make a choice that either we believe that Jesus lived, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he's alive today, and he's the only way to heaven. Or, like I said a few minutes ago, we can say he's a legend, he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. That's the choice you and I have to make. Nobody's going to twist your arm, but God gave us all a free will. So do you admit you're a sinner and you're sorry? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? He is the only way to heaven. And then C is to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. It doesn't say just the wealthy. It just doesn't say the perfect. It doesn't say the ones that are the strongest or the richest or the most influential. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is calling out to you and I today, just like he did for me more than 20 years ago. And how do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says this. It says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. There's no guarantee you and I are going to live till tomorrow, is there? And if you think so, you should have been with me last week when I was just at a funeral of a 17-year-old boy in Milwaukee who died from a gymnastic accident. His funeral was down on 20th and Capitol. I'm sure that 17-year-old boy didn't think he was going to die. The principal of the school said he was the best athlete in the school. And he died, and he wasn't probably ready for death. But here, God's given us all a chance here today to make the decision to say, now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of favor. You have a choice. When somebody comes to your door and knocks on the door, right? You can either say, come on in, welcome. Or pretend you didn't hear it. Or hope that they go away, right? And that's what Jesus is doing today with the message. He's saying, you know what? I came for you. I'm knocking on your heart. And if the Spirit's speaking to you, not Mark speaking to you, but if God is speaking to each of your hearts in some way today, I want to give you that privilege to meet Jesus for the first time. And how do we do that? By faith, by prayer. So I'm going to ask you all to just bow your heads with me. And if Jesus was speaking to you, then say this prayer aloud. If you didn't do it, then don't do it. Because you're not impressing me. You're not saying it for me. This is between you and God. But he tells us to publicly confess our faith to one another. So if you want to meet Jesus today, then say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I am a sinner. And
I am sorry
for all the wrong I've done.
I believe, Lord Jesus,
you are the Son of God.
You died on the cross.
For me.
You rose from the dead.
And are alive today. Please come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Please change me from the inside out. Help me to live for you and follow you all the days of my life.
I love you, Jesus.
Thank you for loving me.
In
Jesus' name I pray. And all the brothers enthusiastically said, Amen. All right, now if that was your prayer, if you sincerely meant that, only God knows that. That's between you and God. That's not for us. But if you did, by your faith, he says you become a child of God. You've been forgiven of your sin. You've met the living God. And now you've got to believe it by faith, not by feelings, but by faith. And God keeps his word. He says you have the gift of eternal life right now because of your confession of faith. If you've received that prayer, if you made that your prayer today, share that with somebody today, maybe somebody that brought you, or tell somebody after the seminar, because that's the greatest gift you'll ever have, is that. And what I want to do in the last few minutes that we have, I think we have a few minutes, right, Phil? Great. Is you should have all got a handout on your chair. If you didn't, raise your hand and we can quickly give you one. But it tells you about what the next steps are if you met Jesus now, because we don't want to stop here today. This is a starting point. And so if you did, praise God, congratulations, welcome to the family of God. But let's look at it. It said, what are some things that we can do to develop our relationship with God, to grow with him? And first, it tells us to read your Bible daily. And when you read your Bible, before you start reading it, ask God in prayer, God, would you help me to understand it? God, would you show, would you illuminate it? Would you teach me something? Would you show me? And ask him to help you to apply it to your life. And if you don't know where to start, go into the book of John. And that might sound funny because most books you go right to the start. And you can go to the start of Genesis if you like. But if you go to the book of John, you'll learn about Jesus. And if we want to be a follower of Jesus, the book of John tells us a lot about his life. So start in the book of John. And I like it real simple. Start with one chapter. Just read one a day. All right? You can do one. It won't take you long. 20 minutes, 15 minutes. And when you're doing it, have a pad of paper next to you. Write down any questions, any insights. And if you don't understand, take it to somebody, a pastor. Take it to a man of God, a woman of God, and say, hey, can you help me understand? Or pray and ask God to reveal it to you, and he'll reveal things to you. So starting reading your Bible every day. And again, it doesn't have to be long, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. That's doable for everybody. I know we're all busy. But if you want to follow him, you got to know what he wants us to do if we're going to be a disciple of Christ. That's the start. Secondly, pray to Jesus each day. You know, we're talking today just like, you know, guys talk. That's how we talk to God. That's what prayer is. It's just talking. We don't have to have fancy words. We don't have to do all this posturing. Just come and talk to him. Tell him what's on your mind. He cares for you, and he loves it when we come and talk to him. In a model of prayer that I put for you, just a simple way, if you don't know how to pray, it's called ACTS, A-C-T-S. Start with adoration, thanking God, loving God, worshiping him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him what he means to you, how much you appreciate what he's done in your life. Then confession. Tell him the things you've done wrong in your life, yesterday, today. Confess them. Lay them out there. He says if you confess your sin, he'll forgive you. And you know when you get set free of sin, when somebody says, I forgive you, how good that feels, right? Now imagine when God says, I forgive you. Now I don't have to be burdened by my sin. I don't have to carry that guilt or shame around anymore. I can lay it at his feet. And he said, you'll be forgiven. Clean as, washed as white as snow. And then thanksgiving. Tell him what you're thankful for. Your family, your life, your health, your home, whatever. But it gives you a chance to talk to God and say thank you for what he taught you in the Word today. And then ask the supplication, a fancy word for just saying pray for the needs of others or pray what's on your mind. And that's what he wants us to do, is have a relationship with him. So he'll speak to you through the Word, and you often have a chance to speak to him in prayer. But if you listen, he'll also speak to you in prayer. And there's nothing greater than when you hear God speak to you through the Word. When you know the Word jumped off the page or something comes in your mind that you never would have thought. And it's like, God, only you could do that. And that's awesome. And then tell somebody about it. And then third, go to church. Find a church where the Bible's being taught. If you don't have a church home, I'm sure Elmbrook Church would delight in having you come here. But they're not here to have this conference to get people to join the church. They want you to follow Jesus. That's what they're here for. That's why we're all here. But if you don't know where to go, ask God or ask somebody here. Is there a good church that you could find, that you could plug in and start going?
We go to Salvation Army.
Great. Wonderful. I know Salvation Army's been faithful for more than 150 years. Fantastic.
That's so, where we go.
Great. Then keep going there.
Lieutenant Sam's our pastor.
Excellent. And that's what we all need, is a place to go where we can learn the Word, but also not only what we get out of it, because it's a blessing to be around people that love you and encourage you and support you, but you know what? When we go to church, then God will reveal to you where you can serve, where you can be a blessing, where you can help. Maybe you'll come up here and do this, and that'd be awesome. I'd love to hear you do it. I'm sure you could do it a lot better than I did it. It'd be a blessing. But that's why we go to church, is we find where God wants us to go. And again, if you don't know, ask somebody, and they'll direct you there. And again, each one of us has a gift and a talent, or more, at least one. And there's a good way to use that gift and talent. You know, Jesus said, you know, he came to serve and not just to be served and give his life up for as a ransom for many. Remember when I told you my story at the start? My whole life was about me. I wanted to be served. I wanted to have people take care of me and look out for me. I'm just being honest with you. That's where I was at. Now, most of my life is given away and serving and doing things for others. And I've never been more satisfied, more blessed, more encouraged. Because now I'm doing what God wants me to, and it's exciting. And you know, if you're honest, when you get to serve somebody, how blessed you feel. And that's not why you do it, but that's just how God's economy is. When you serve, God makes you feel good, because now you're doing what he's made for you to do. And then lastly, join a Bible study or speak a spiritual mentor. If you're going to a church, if you find a church, ask them if they've got a beginning Bible study, a starter Bible study for men or for couples or anybody. And if they don't have one, ask the pastor if there's someone there that he would recommend that you could meet with on a weekly basis to grow and understand your faith and understand the Bible. At my house, as I told you, 21 years ago is when we came to faith. God spoke to my wife on August of 1994, I believe it was, so that's like 22 years, and said, she had never heard God's voice, and said, start your own. What did that mean? Start your own Bible study. So we started a Bible study in September of 1994. We didn't even know the Bible, and God brought a guy, Mark and Linda Nickel, who knew the Bible, and there were five of us, and we had it there, and he taught us the basics of our faith, and now we've been able to continue to have Bible study at our house for 22 years. Now, who did that but God? And who gets all the glory but God? And we've been blessed to be doing that for all these years. See, you never know what God's got for you, but he's got something incredible with your name on it. So I hope that helps you understand why did Jesus come here today. And I'm just going to take 5 minutes of prayer, and then if there's any questions, I'll answer them. But, you know, here's what we do in the city. This might make you a little uncomfortable, but bear with me. Take a hand of somebody next to you. Hold a hand of somebody next to you. We're all family here, right? We're brothers, right? We all hopefully took showers this year, whether we needed one or not, right? Now look at the unity there. This is how God wants us to be, one with one another, but one with him, and it only comes through Christ. So I just want to pray a blessing on you guys. I'll ask any questions, and we'll go. Father, thank you so much for this time and for these men. Thank you that you brought them here, and you know them, and you love them, and you know them by name. Lord, I just pray that you would touch each heart that was here, that you would put at least one truth in each person's heart, that they could be transformed to be the man of God you want them to be. Please remove any lies or deceptions or discouragements from them. Please help them, Lord, to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would you continue to help their families to prosper the way you want, not necessarily wealth or power, but fruitfulness and faithfulness and the fruit of God? Would you help them in the area of their greatest need? You know what each person's need is. Some might have health problems. Some might have financial, whatever they are, God. But would you meet the brothers here today, right where they are? And would you strengthen and encourage and bless them? Would you be with their families, God, and protect them and watch over them until they all get home? And lastly, Lord, I pray you would have two last prayers for each man here. Would you give each man the desire of his heart, God? You know everybody's got at least one thing on our mind that if we could ask you for, Lord, would you grant that for them? Not only their desire, but even greater than that, Lord, would you give them the desire of your heart? Wow, if you gave each one of us the desire of your heart, we would all be truly blessed. So thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for hearing our prayers and answering prayers. And Lord, we just give this time to you and say, may it be a sweet aroma to you and an encouragement to the brothers. And we say this all in Jesus' name. Amen.